Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals.
And gone!
Trust the same experts who make the right call for the Royals and go to kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
The voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus.
And good evening, everybody. Nearly 200 people here tonight at the Hy-Vee at 95th and Antioch in our Hy-Vee Market Grill here tonight to announce a late score just in. Chiefs 42, Patriots 27. And to beat a team that was 54-1 at home against the AFC in the last 10 years, that was huge. You got it. And now we set our sights on the Philadelphia Eagles. It's red everything this week, of course, Red Friday, and that stadium needs to be an inferno of heat as the Eagles come to town and the Chiefs try to go to 2-0. A reminder, the Chiefs Kingdom is also brought to you by Tickets for Less. Listen to this. Tickets for Less has a $79 special. Now it's $79 special for both Monday night football games in October. I kid you not. That's at Tickets for Less. And also here at Hy-Vee at 95th and Antioch, one of the great, actually one of the first in Kansas City of our Hy-Vee Market Grills. And a reminder, Hy-Vee is your tailgate headquarters. High school, college, the Chiefs, Red Friday, Red Thursday, Red West, Red Wednesday. It is at Hy-Vee. Special shout-out to a lot of our fans here tonight. The Taj Mahal tailgaters are here. Susie Bling Bling, Kent the Cake Packer, and others. The Central Bank Geeks are here tonight with Magic Mark. Not Magic Mike. Magic Mark is here. Also, the Geeks are here tonight. Autograph Geek, Snowstorm Sandy. Also here, we have got the Redcoaters, of course. Bessie and Cleo, Queen Brenda, and others. DJ Spins here tonight. The Froman is here. The Red Guard is here. Reed's Redheads are here in force. And the Lake Rats, led by Big Daddy Lake Rat, are here. And Mrs. Lake Rat, along with Casey Chef and others. We got a giant crowd. We are getting after it, ready to go 2-0 as we take on the Philadelphia Eagles coming up on Sunday at noon at Arrowhead Stadium. A reminder, this week is Red Friday week. I'm going to have the crew over here hold up the flags. We've got a sample of the flags. Grammy Tammy's over here. We got Gene and Ann. And there's the Chiefs Kingdom flag. You can get those in Kansas City at the McDonald's. We're going to also have those in Omaha. I'll be in Omaha tomorrow to kick it off. We're also going to be in Springfield and in Wichita. So make sure you get your Chiefs Kingdom flag. That's for Red Friday. When we come back, we're going to talk to the architect and a man that has won six straight road opening victories in the National Football League. We'll have Big Red, Andy Reid, after this on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network.
Down 17-7. They have second down and goal to go at the three.
Kelsey or Conley.
Kareem Hunt is in the backfield this time. Alex Smith the throw under pressure. Hunt left and sprinting to the left side. Reaches out. Touchdown. Kansas City. Kareem Hunt. His first National Football League touchdown. On an out route, and Alex Smith completes the two-minute drive with 13 seconds remaining in the second quarter.
It was a thing of beauty. That two-minute drive at the end of the half was awesome. It was huge. We are back at the Hy-Vee at 95th and Antioch. We got Puppet Lady here tonight as well with the Rock'em Sock'em Puppets, and we're getting after the Eagles puppet there. So welcome everybody back to the Chiefs Kingdom Show presented by Tickets for Less. Remember, Tickets for Less, unlike the other guys, no taxes, no fees, so the price you see is always the price you pay. And now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the young man that has won six consecutive road opening games and seven out of eight. That's almost impossible to do in this league. Give it up for Big Red, Andy Reid.
Hello, Mitch.
And hello, Coach, and good evening. It's on here tonight, Coach.
Sounds like it.
It is buzzing. We got your quarterback here, and we got about 200 of his closest friends. But first of all, and I know you turn to this game Sunday, and a lot of my questioning is going to be, if it's referencing last week, it's going to really reference this week as well in the bigger picture. But just overall, to beat a team, and I know how much you respect Coach Belichick, but to beat a team like that at that place to accomplish what you did, what does it potentially say about the baseline that you've made with this football team?
Yeah, that's a tough place to go in and play it, in particular to win a game like that. They've had all offseason like we have to prepare for the game and get all their new stuff out there. So you don't know exactly what to expect to go in there and to be able to put together a game like that. I thought said a lot about the character of our team. You've got the main guy right there and the leader of the football team. So you get an idea of how our guys go about their business by how Alex carries himself. So he's been a great example to everybody in that locker room.
And these guys, just like you, Coach, have already flipped the switch, right? You're ready to beat the Eagles' rear ends this weekend, right? Ready to go? It's time to put the hammer down. So now my questioning references back to last Thursday night, but also references ahead in a two-way conduit. And first of all, your ability to be resilient in that game. I said it was like a wrestling match in college, and they've got you on a near fall in the first 20 seconds of the match. You reverse and pin them in the last period. What did your team show you in the ability to be resilient?
Well, the best thing was, Mitch, there was no panic on the sideline. And the guys on both sides of the ball and special teams all just said, hey, listen, let's just settle down, start playing our kind of football. And that's what they ended up doing. But I never sensed that anybody got out of whack there. They were all just saying, listen, we're going to be fine. We just do our jobs keep playing hard, and good things will happen.
That was very impressive to see how the guys handled that. The second thing, which goes forward as well as looking backward, is your red zone ability to get to the touchdown percentage at 3-for-3, and your ability to cash in goal to go.
Yeah, that was important. That and the fourth down stops by our defense, I thought, were big. Anytime you can stop a team of that caliber, and then when you're down the red zone to be able to score on a defense like that, I think is important. You don't want to kick field goals. You want to score touchdowns, and field goals come back to bite you just a little bit against a team that could score like they have in the past.
And the other one is, I was going back through the video, and I really enjoyed watching the two-minute drive at the end of the half. We just heard the way you culminated it with Kareem Hunt with the touchdown play. 12 plays, you had 8 different guys have influence. 7 touched it, and DeMarcus Robinson was interfered with in the end zone. Your ability to go in that length and score a touchdown in the two-minute, what did that tell us about this team and its potential?
Yeah, again, that we spent a lot of time working on the two-minute drill, in particular over the last couple of years. The last time we were up there, we didn't do quite as well. So it was a nice challenge for us going against those basically the same guys and being able to punch it in there. So I was proud of how the guys handled themselves. Again, Alex is making those calls and putting all that stuff together there. So my hat's off to him and keeping, again, everybody calm out there and kind of going in the right direction, making sure the officials get the ball at the right spot, making sure the guys are getting out of bounds. Those guys, the receivers have a lot of responsibility along with the tight ends, a lot of responsibility there of not only catching the ball, running the right routes, taking the right splits, but also making sure they get out of bounds and get the ball back to the right person so we can keep that clock going in our direction and not the other team's direction.
Coach, it was impressive to see it, even more impressive to review it. Then the next one is the ability to command the fourth quarter, to outscore that team in the fourth quarter, the same team that did that to an opponent in Super Bowl 51 in the fourth quarter in overtime. You did it at their place. What does it say about physically, mentally, emotionally, the fact that you commandeered the fourth quarter to your opponent?
Well, all our players saw that. They not only saw the game live when it happened, you know, in live time, but they also had a chance to review that game. And you know, when you play a Bill Belichick team, Tom Brady team, that you better continue to score. And like you say, you better put the hammer down, man, and you better do it for four quarters, or it can turn bad on you real fast. So our guys understood that. That's the mentality that they took into the game. Again, they were talking that on the sideline, that it's not enough. We need more, more, more. The big offensive line, you got to give them credit for the job that they did with that defensive front. And then you got to give our defensive line credit and how they handled the pressure there, along with our outside linebackers, those last couple series throwing the football.
Yeah, that pass rush at the end was huge. It was fantastic. And then the other thing would be, I sense from our guys, even in mid-August at St. Joe, Andy, there was an expectation to win this game. When we got on that plane Wednesday, I wasn't hoping to win, and hey, this looks like an ominous task to run into the lion's mouth. But what about the ability and the thought that your guys expected to win that game? What does it say about them mentally as we approach the next 15 games?
Yeah, well, that's the makeup of this team, I think. We'll know at the end of the year really what we are. But for what I've seen throughout camp, and we're lucky enough here in Kansas City to have a bunch of veteran players coming back, and they put a tremendous amount of pressure, or you could just say they've taught the young guys, this is the expectation here, and you better raise your game, man. You better do it every week. This will be a nice test for us coming up here against the Eagles, because they're a good football team, very physical football team, and so on both sides of the ball. Again, there's no time to relax now. Now you know your body is sore a bit. You're recovering from it at this time. How you handle that's important. It's going to be warm. How you take care of yourself with replenishing with liquid. All those things become important. The small things that people don't think about become important. Your preparation and how you get ready for a good team week two, when you're on a little bit shorter schedule.
And then you got to play Eric Berry. Without Eric Berry, I mean, you've lost Eric Berry to injury. Your ability or the necessity to compensate without him?
Yeah, one of the great leaders in our game. and a real tribute to the National Football League, Eric Berry is. And it's a shame that happened, because he's a tremendously proud guy, loves to play the game. But things happen. He knows that. He's gone through a lot worse than this, and he'll be back. The other thing he'll do is he'll stick around, and his influence will still be a part of this football team, in particular for the young guys that have a chance to step in. We're lucky enough to where we do have players that can step in and play. We're not bare in that position. So we've got some guys that have a little bit of experience that can step in and fill those shoes. It's not going to be Eric Berry, but it's going to be a good football player in there playing.
Again, Andy Reid with us for the next couple of minutes. Andy, you were so gracious to my high school football team this summer, and you read a book called Our Boys. The only thing I'm going to refer people to, a lot of people have read it, is page 199 of the book, and that's all I'm going to say about it, is page 199 of that book, because it pertains to this week, and this week against the Philadelphia Eagles. Because here comes your old team, here comes your former offensive coordinator, a guy that we all like and appreciate and love, and Doug Peterson. What about the dynamics of playing the team that you were so successful with against a coach who we've spent a lot of time with together?
Yeah, when it's all said and done, none of that matters once you play the game. So, so I never want that to influence our team preparation-wise or personality-wise. So it's very important that we are who we are and that we take care of our business, that we don't let our emotions get caught up in all of that nonsense there and just go play the game. So I enjoyed my time there, but I'm a Chief, and I'm loving every minute of this. I love the people, those redheads there, love them, man. So I'm happy to be here and rolling the way we're rolling. And so that's the important part. Don't let the other thing be a distraction, whether it's Doug or myself. Let's go play, and let's not worry about all that. Neither one of us are playing in the game anyways, thank goodness.
Well, we're appreciative that you came here. I know I've said it for 5 years. I'll say it for five more. Who's happy that this guy that's on the line with me came to Kansas City? Because he changed everything. He changed everything. Coach, we're going to let you keep on preparation for the Philadelphia Eagles, but while he goes back to work to try to get us to 2-0 against his old team, let's give a hand to the guy who has been transformational in being head coach, the winningest coach in Chiefs history or Dallas Texan history in his first 4 years in one game. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Reid.
Thank you, Mitch. And hi to the redheads there.
They're here. The redheads are here to give the whoop. We got them all ages and all sizes. But anyway, when we come back, we're going to look and talk to the guy who had one of the best opening games in Chiefs history because he was able to put the hammer down, baby. His performance, 4 touchdowns against the New England Patriots in Foxborough, was huge. When we come back, Alex Smith, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. After this, you're listening to exclusive coverage of Chiefs football.
Hunt's in the backfield to the right of Alex Smith. Blitz by New England. They're throwing long. Hill's wide open at the 35, at the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Kansas City. The cheetah is loose in New England for 75 yards, and the Chiefs take the lead.
Yeah, the cheetah was loose in New England. We're going to turn the cheetah loose again here at home. We are loud and we're red and we're rowdy. It's Red Friday week and Red Everything week. We're at the Hy-Vee at 95th and Antioch. Also, our show brought to you by Tickets for Less, the Chiefs Kingdom show. By the way, Tickets for Less has a VIP tent, largest tailgate at Arrowhead. It opens up 3 hours before every home game, including this week against the Eagles. Unlimited food, beer, and entertainment for all one low price. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's so awesome that he's here tonight because it's on the heels of one of the greatest single performances by a quarterback to open the season in franchise history. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Smith.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't think my wife's here tonight. I don't think anybody's happier than her because she goes, I hope they go nuts for Alex. Yeah. She's one of your biggest fans. Kind of worries me a little bit. But anyway, first of all, I know we've looked ahead. You've already started prepping for Philly, but we do have to go back to that game.
Yeah.
And like I talked with Andy, some of the things that happened there that can be something that can become habitual. What happened in that game that you really like that can carry on to week after week?
Yeah, I mean, I think some things that jump out, the balance. The balance offensively, you know, spreading the field out. I thought the mix of run and pass, the misdirection, stretching it downfield throughout the game. I thought Coach did a great job just staying aggressive all day. And then I thought, you know, one of the biggest things is, and we've seen it in the past, we saw it when we played them, there was a clear focus in them. You know, Kelce got a lot of attention, and it was like that a couple years ago when we played them. And we knew other guys were going to get one-on-ones, especially in big moments, big third downs in the red zone. And worked hard at everybody having a piece of this, you know, that this isn't going to be one guy or two guys, that everybody's got to have a hand in this. And then, you know, to get in the red zone and, you know, Demetrius to start us off, I thought was such a big play. And he's a guy that I have so much confidence in. And I think everybody does that in big, big moments, he's capable of making big plays and consistently. And, you know, obviously Tyreek and Albert and Chris Conley, you know, adding in at opportune times. And then, you know, Kareem, obviously I think, I mean, what a game, you know, especially to start the game off the way he did, but to bounce back and you make so many plays in the passing game. So, you know, you're tough to beat when you got I mean, when you got to defend that many guys that I just named, you know, and I left some out. I know it, you know, but when you got to defend that many guys, you make it tough on a defense, you know, and that's what we worked really hard at. I thought all offseason, all camp, and you know, I thought Thursday night was a perfect example of that.
I want to ask you about the toughness aspect, because they hit us upside the head.
Oh, yeah.
Then a counterpunch, then they hit us twice as hard, and then we sledgehammered them.
Yeah.
What about that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I think that really speaks to the fact that I think this team's battle-tested. You know, we've been through a lot. We've won a lot of different ways. I think we realize that you can do it a lot of different ways. And in the end, I think, that we realize it kind of coming down to handling your emotions, handling the moment, the details of executing. And we didn't. You know, we didn't get all out of sorts. It was a big stage. It was emotional. Opening days are an emotional period. And then you go to that stage. You're defending world champs. You're kicking off the season, and then to start the way we did, you know. And I thought just didn't get rattled, you know. And I think really kind of speaks to the core of the team that's been through a lot.
Yeah. I'm telling you, people, that is huge. Okay, when I went back and watched the video, I love the 2 minutes at the end of the second quarter. I counted 8 different people got involved.
Yeah.
Even DeMarcus had the DPI.
Yep.
So what about everybody? And then how they handle it. Tyreek catches it, goes 90 degrees out of bounds. It might have saved our chance to get a touchdown.
Yeah, you know, I thought that changed the game. Certainly that 2 minute drive to start where we started off and to move it all the way down. And obviously you're just trying to get points, you know, and then to finish it off with the touchdown. It was big. No one were going to turn around and get the ball back. All of a sudden, it became a one-score game. You know, that 20 minutes before that, you know, that seemed unimaginable. And all of a sudden, to put ourselves in that situation, I thought flipped the game around to come in at halftime down 3, knowing we were getting the ball. And we had worked ourselves back to close to even, you know, on an even playing field. So it was big. And like you said, I thought one of the biggest games there, just, you know, D-Rob being aggressive. You know, being aggressive in the end zone, all of a sudden he gets in, and you never know when your number's going to get called. You're just ready to roll, and he makes an aggressive play at the ball, and next thing you know, it's first and goal at the 1.
It was awesome to see it. Then how much of this is a factor of trust? You just mentioned you got trust in Demetrius Harris. I mean, let's be honest, and D knows this. He led the league in drops last year in percentage of targets. Not this year. I mean, he's catching everything in camp.
Yep.
But what about trust now, back and forth? Them to you, you to them, you to the line, coach to you to coach, you to Nags?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, it's vital, you know, and good teams have it, and a lot of teams are searching for it. And I just thought the structure of the offseason, the structure of camp, really lent itself to that. I mean, I thought our receiving core, the playmakers, at this point, they're so good at moving around. You could stick any one of our wideouts in any one of the spots, and they're going to know what to do. They're going to be confident. They're going to go out there and do it. Same with the tight ends. You know, I thought it was – we had a week in camp this year where Kelsey went down and, you know, we were kind of, you know, getting him back healthy, and I didn't skip a beat. You know, D and Ross and those guys kind of licking their chops at the opportunity and stepping in there and didn't skip a beat, you know. And so I think it's kind of a credit to obviously the depth, the talent, the guys that we have, how much work they put in, knowing all that, staying ready. You know, and then just kind of creating that culture, you know, that guys are ready and waiting and want to be involved and want to be the next guy that makes a play. So
the other thing I wanted to get your thoughts on the offensive line, you mentioned them earlier, but and I talked to you after the game about this. One, it looked like you were able to get through progressions.
Yeah.
How important was that?
Yeah, huge. I mean, and I think the thing that kind of goes unnoticed is New England makes you prepare for a ton up front. I mean, they really make you – I mean – those guys got to be communicating. They have to stay on it. I mean, they make you adjust a lot on the fly. And I thought our O-line, I mean, all week it was an emphasis and then went up there and they were on it. I mean, every little thing, we knew it. Broke the huddle, got up to the line. Those guys were on all the calls, all the adjustments. And we talk about it all the time. I mean, we go as they go. And, you know, to run the ball, I thought at the clip we were running it. I mean, it seemed like every time we were running the ball, it was downhill. It was 6-8 yard clips we were raking off, especially even early. And then, you know, versus all those fronts and all the things they were doing against us, the O-line, I mean, they just, you know, held them off, handled all that stuff. The ball to Tyreek doesn't happen without the O-line. You know, those guys, they're bringing pressure off the slot. O-line picks it up. makes that happen. So, we know that, and we know they don't get a ton of attention and credit, but we love those guys, and certainly they make us go.
Now, you mentioned running the ball. One thing is to run the ball. Another is to run it when they know you have to run it up eight, and you stole their soul. Here we go. You know how this works. And people give me crap about this, but I'm telling you, you saw it in the real life in the fourth quarter because this team was able to put the hammer down, baby. You got it. That's it. Go ahead and do it. Colquitt broke a table a couple of years ago.
I was going to say it.
It's a quarterback and a punter that always does it. But you stole their soul.
Yeah.
Boom. 58 with Kareem Hunt and then 21 with Skittles. To do that and go, okay, what does that mean that you're able? They had eight-man front. I was watching it on tape.
I mean, you just said it. I think, you know, the ultimate is they know you're running it. Every person in the stands knows you're running it and you can still run it. I mean, that says a lot. It says a lot about our unit, certainly those guys up front. Everybody involved in the run game, which is pretty much everybody but me.
You're not bad either.
Yeah. To do that there at the end of the game, to close that game out, to win that game on our terms, I think says a lot. Like I said, especially against a really, really good front. Those guys are coached well. They're physical. It was awesome to see. I mean, there's so many situations throughout a game, and that was one of them. There at the end of the game, 4 minute. Our guys were on it, knew the situation, knew the details of it, what kind of front we were going to get and how to counterpunch it. So it was awesome to see.
It was awesome to see it. Your 7-yard run in the 2 minute was big. And let's talk almost 500 yards rushing 2 years ago, Ryan. I still have you seeing you going for 50 in London. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
People are going, wow, how athletic is he? I go, he's really athletic. Okay. Time to flip the switch. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about this week. Now all of you get involved this week. You are now all in this starting tonight, okay? All right, we have the biggest network in the NFL listening to us right now. All of you here and all of you listening, it starts right now. When we come back, we're going to talk to the winningest quarterback in franchise history in the first 4 years, Alex Smith. Back with more from Alex after this. You're listening to exclusive coverage of Chiefs football. Hunt stays in the backfield to right of Alex Smith. Now he brings Tyreek Hill in motion. They fake the jet action. Alex Smith wants to throw all kinds of time. He wants Kareem Hunt out of the backfield. 40, 35 to the 30. Hunt breaks a tackle. 15, 10. Stiff arms a man. Gets all the way to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. 78 yards. Kareem Hunt, welcome to the National Football League. Your second touchdown of the night. And he got a third after that. That play was huge. Welcome back to Hy-Vee at 95th and Antioch, a sellout crowd here tonight. Awesome. Again, Hy-Vee's your tailgate headquarters. These guys are fabulous here. And also, the Chiefs Kingdom Show is presented by Tickets for Less. They got the best seats, cheapest parking, largest tailgate party at Arrowhead, a huge selection of seats. That's with Tickets for Less. And again, with us tonight is our special guest, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Alex Smith, with us tonight. Woo. 3 years here, you spent a lot of time in the same room with a guy who's bringing a football team here now to play us. I spent a little bit of time in that room with him. The dynamic of playing Philadelphia and Doug Peterson as head coach.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on there. Certainly, the fact that Coach Reed, you know, had so many years there, is so familiar with them, and then crazy, that Doug's gone back and is the head coach, and certainly, you know, there's a bunch of assistants that were here that are there now, everything about it. I'm sure their Wednesday is going to be just like our Wednesday, you know, and Thursday, and they're going to do things the same way we're doing them. So. It makes it interesting when you're preparing, right? I mean, who's, you know, the chess game of who's going to switch things up, who's doing what to try to get an advantage. So, and for us, you know, I'm getting ready to play the defense, which there isn't much carryover there, but obviously knowing that, Doug's, you know, obviously running our offense there and getting ready to play our D. So, a lot of weird details this week, yeah.
Well, you're going to have a little help because you're going to have 76,000 of your closest friends on your side.
Oh, I can't wait. I know. Can't wait.
It's going to be. And I'm going to ask you, I mentioned my wife. She's got the Chiefs Kingdom flag here to show you. They're going to be on sale on Red Friday. But you've been a lot of places. I'm a San Diego Padres fan, and we talk about San Diego. But the whole Red Friday thing, it's like a pep rally for millions of people. The uniqueness of that and how special it is, and do the players feel any of that?
Oh, for sure, without a doubt. And it's crazy special. There's nowhere else in the country when there's something like this going on that everybody knows it. Hey, Friday, it's Red Friday. I mean, and it's the whole buildup of the week where we're kicking off the weekend. We know Sunday is, it's a special day, and we know what that's about. So no question. I mean, and this is just funny. I mean, quick story. This week at my kid's school, it's Spirit Week. And so they're like, every day is a different day, like a themed day. And Friday's pajama day. And my wife last night's like, well, that doesn't make sense. It's Red Friday. You know, it's so ingrained that's what this city's about. That's what this whole community about, the kingdom. And it was just funny to me that without skipping a beat, it's Red Friday. So I think it's awesome. It's one of the coolest things going, I think, in the whole country.
Better be Red Pajama Friday.
That's exactly. Yeah.
Or we'll unleash Elizabeth on them.
Yeah.
I want to say this, though, about your family. I don't know how many of you up here have had a chance to be around them, but they're awesome. And it starts with Elizabeth. I know that you've been blessed.
Yeah.
Your family's cool, your mom and dad and your siblings. But how neat is it to have her as your partner through all this?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't do what I do without the structure and support. I mean, she's the pillar of all that. I mean, to have our three little kids that are just chaotic. I got family and friends coming in town, and I'm never there to help do any of that. She makes it go. And then obviously the day in, day out, everything that comes with playing quarterback at the NFL level that she's there for and been through it, you know. And it's so nice to be able to have that because a lot of people don't. So very, very thankful for her.
Yeah, she's a special guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. She is awesome. Flip the switch to the Eagles, but I do want to mention this because I love when I have a chance to get you on, and particularly in this format, because his foundation, the Alex Smith Foundation and the Smith Foundation family, has been, I think, the Boston Globe, ironically, listed foundations, and it's one of the top in the world. Just fill us in on what you're doing, how cool this is, because this thing has grown.
Yeah, thank you. It's awesome. It's directed at foster youth, teenage, adolescent foster youth, specifically in the Kansas City area, helping them stay in school and finish school. And that's primarily what it does. And as you can imagine, not many of them do stay in school or finish school. And so we've had a program running up in the Kansas City area with Cornerstones of Care. And they operate a bunch of the child protective services and foster care in the area. And so they've been a great partner. They're on all the details. And then the cool thing, I think, here soon is we're going to be launching a high school component in the area, which is specifically designed, starting with freshmen in high school, at helping these kids, finish high school, go on to secondary education, whatever they're looking forward to. But a lot of those kids just bounce around foster home to foster home and have a lot of problems. And the last thing they're thinking about a lot of times is school and their future, because that's the reality of their life. So just, trying to create some support and help them be normal kids.
A lot of you have been foster parents, and thank you for that. But it's not like we all plan for our kids' educations and things like that. The foster child doesn't have that. You provide that. Like his foundation, how many kids have you had now get bachelor's degrees?
Yeah, quite a few, which has been crazy. Yeah, quite a few. Just the reality, that a lot of these kids don't, like I said, don't have the luxury of thinking about where they're going to be 5 years from now. Hey, what do I want to be doing? You know, they don't get the luxury of thinking about their future. They're bouncing around. They're thinking about where they're going to sleep that night, what they're going to eat, especially when a lot of these kids emancipate, when they age out of the system and a lot of the public support, federal and state support ends. They're kind of on their own. And I remember what it was like when I turned 18. I certainly wasn't ready to be on my own. So I had a lot of people there helping me, family, friends, coaches that were guiding me, telling me to get my act together when I needed to, helping me out when I needed a hand. So just trying to give that to some kids that don't have that, right? They didn't have the same breaks that that I got. So it's been fun. It's humbling, to these kids are so awesome, and just trying to help just give them a chance, like I said, to have a same opportunity that a lot of us had.
It is huge. I'm telling you, and it's phenomenal what you've done for those kids who would have no other chance, and it's very unique. There's not very many foundations like this in the world. But now as we get ready to play the Eagles, you're getting ready for, here we go, Red Monday, Red Pajamas, here we go.
Yeah.
What do you tell the kingdom, baby? You got 60 seconds.
Yeah, you know, for me, I think it's been nice to have a couple days off because it's such a game of emotion, the football, right? And that's why we love it. That's why we play. That's why we watch it. And but you got to be able to handle your emotions. And opening days are always huge. I mean, they're big, right? And then winning them is awesome. And Thursday was as big as it gets for openers. But we got to, you also at the same time got to get back down to earth. Got to get back to what got you there, the details, the getting into the minutia of it and right, having a sense of urgency. And so we got a big, these guys are good, really good, better than the record last year. They're coming in, it's personal. And, but it's going to be opening day at Arrowhead. So I can't wait. I think it's going to be unbelievable.
Well, Hudson and Hayes aren't here tonight. They're at practice, but you got to represent them because I know what Hud would do. Hey, for this guy being our quarterback, as tough as he is, as resilient as he is, the leader that he is, he doesn't toot his own horn, but I'll toot it for him, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to put the hammer down. That's it. How we got Alex.
Thank you.
Alex Smith was tonight, Chiefs quarterback.
Thank you.
We come back. We'll wrap things up after this on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network.
15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City! Skittles for everybody! Skittles for the kingdom! Skittles has found the end zone on a 21-yard run.
Skittles for everybody. As Sharkhandrick West found the end zone, and that touchdown actually took the sauce right out of the Patriots, and then they were walking out of the stadium where they had lost to one AFC team in 10 years. And that was the last game of the year. And again, they had already wrapped up the division, blah, blah, blah. They had no idea what hit them with that sledgehammer. But now, here come the Philadelphia Eagles. And a reminder that this is a special week and hope everybody will get involved. Tammy's here, my wife. She's got the flag. Got the Chiefs Kingdom flag. Want to show them? Nope. Here we are. This is a sample of what you can get. She's our model tonight. Yep, you can get that. All right, Red Friday is coming up. And so you can buy a flag in Kansas City at McDonald's. The proceeds go to the Ronald McDonald House. And last year it was astronomical what we raised because of that. However, the kingdom is also going to be unleashed on Red Friday in Springfield, Missouri. So tell your friends and family down there. A lot of you have clients down there. Wichita, Kansas. It'll be back in Wichita. Then tomorrow I'll actually be in Omaha to help kick off Red Friday week in Omaha as the flags that will be sold there at the Hy-Vees in Omaha will actually help the Boys and Girls Clubs of Nebraska in the Omaha Council Bluffs area. So you heard what it meant to Alex Smith. When I asked him about Red Friday and Red Friday week, you heard what it meant to him. These players know how unique it is. None of the other 31 teams in the NFL do it. They don't do it like this. They've tried it. But to have the united effort, we all come from different backgrounds, race, color, creed. We don't agree on stuff. But we agree on this, is when we get red this week and everybody can go together hand in hand, and it's really more than football this week. It's really more than that because it shows what a city, a kingdom can do when it's unified. Also, a big thanks to Tickets for Less. We want to give them credit. They have this $79 special, both Monday Night Football games on October. That is crazy, but check it out at Tickets for Less. And then a big shout-out to the folks here at Hy-Vee, here at 95th in Antioch. Done a remarkable job. Hy-Vee is such a terrific partner to be with them. And so next week, we will be at the Hy-Vee at 151st Street in Olathe. It's near Olathe South High School, and you want to be there. Yep, it's on the southern end of the metro. But Derek Johnson will be our guest. Now, same deal. Alex has been around this league since 2005. It hasn't always been easy for Alex. Hasn't always been easy here. But that dude marches on. And we win football games because Alex Smith is our quarterback. Derek Johnson next week needs as big a crowd as we had here tonight. We had over 150 people here. Because that dude has been through everything as well, up and down. And Derek senses it. He gets it with this team. He knows this team can be special. So next Monday night, let's do it for Derek Johnson, and let's beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's do this. It's time to put the hammer down. Thanks for coming, everybody, on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
You've been listening to Chiefs Kingdom, brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealers. Visit them at your MidwestFordDealers.com. You're listening to exclusive coverage of Chiefs football.